Lord, thank you for being here with us. The music, the message, the fellowship that we feel, may it all just come together to honor you. And Lord, may we go from this place excited about the love that Jesus saves. Jesus saves anyone who is willing to give their heart and life to him. We thank you for that. We love you now as we continue to worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's great to see all of you here today. Appreciate you coming out to worship with us. I hope you received a bulletin on your way in. If you didn't, we don't mind at all that you take just a minute to go back into the hallway and get one. Inside of your bulletin, you find several things, one of which is the outline for my message this morning. And if you'll take that out, I hope you have a pen or a pencil so you can take some notes as we move along through the message this morning. We all have things that we believe are rude forms of behavior. There are all kinds of things that we think are just rude. See if any of these apply to you. For instance, people who pull out in front of you in their car when they don't have enough speed to keep up with the traffic. Rude. People who honk their horn in a traffic jam that's going nowhere anyhow. Rude. People who pull out in front of you in their car when they don't have enough speed to keep up with the traffic. Rude. People who take more than 10 or 12 items through the express checkout lane. Rude. People who stick flyers under your windshield wiper when you're inside shopping. I can't stand that. Drives me nuts. People who call you on the phone to solicit a purchase who, for some reason, don't understand the meaning of the words, "I'm not interested." We're just all going to vent right here. People who pull out in front of you in their car when they don't have enough speed to keep up with the traffic. Rude. At times we find ourselves living in a very rude world. Common courtesy isn't so common anymore. Respect for other people, respect for other people's property, respect for institutions or leaders at sometimes is an all-time low. The Bible makes it very clear that respect is something great relationships are built on. Respect is the framework for civilized societies. If there isn't respect for people, for their rights, their responsibilities, their relationships, all of that would simply deteriorate. Civilization would decay. And ultimately, we'd have anarchy. I'm in a series of messages called Building Great Relationships. This is part 6. And today I want to talk to you about how to give and get respect. Did some of you see the sign out there? R-E-S-P-E-C. I wanted to pull up Aretha's video and just have at it. Now, we're basing this series about great relationships on 1 Corinthians 13, which is the big love chapter that Paul wrote. And I want you to look there on your outline at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, where Paul said, "Love is not rude." The J.B. Phillips translation puts it this way, "Love has good manners." What is rudeness? It's simply a lack of respect for other people. It reveals that you care less about others than you do yourself. You're only thinking about yourself. But the Bible says that real love isn't rude. The remedy for rudeness is found in 1 Peter 2:17. Look what it says there. Show proper respect to, underline that word, everyone. You see, for some people, it's easy for us to be nice and respectful, right? But for other people, we're like, they don't deserve it. But the Bible says, Peter says, show respect to everyone. Your kids, your husband, your wife, the person at work who's obnoxious, people you don't know, your in-laws, Democrats, Republicans, unbelievers, non-believers, believers, atheists, smug Christians. You show respect to everyone. So today I want to look at two things. Why should we show respect to everyone? And how do we show respect to everyone? Let's tackle the first one, why. Why should we treat everyone with respect? I'm going to give you three reasons why we should do that. Regardless of a person's lifestyle, of their decisions, of their behavior, their beliefs, everyone should be treated with the same basic respect. Why? Number one, because God made everyone. God made everyone. Psalm 8, verse 5 says, you, God, speaking of God, you made man inferior only to yourself. You crowned him with glory and honor. He says here, everyone is created by God, and God doesn't create junk. There are no worthless people. There are people who do worthless things, no doubt. There are people who do wrong things, but all people are of value to God because He created them. Even the most unlovable person is still loved by God. So we treat others with respect because God made them. They may have made bad life choices, they may be detestable, but they were created by God Himself in God's image. There are people with whom God is completely angry. Matter of fact, there was a time in the Bible when people were so bad that the Bible says that God said He was sorry that He made them. But from our perspective, He still made them. Even if they chose a detestable path. And because they're created by God, we should show respect to them. Treat everyone with respect because God made everyone. And that ought to be good enough. That ought to be good enough. But let's go to a second reason why. Number two, because Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. God paid a ransom to save you. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. Now, I may not think much of somebody, and you may not think much of somebody, but God does. In fact, God says every person He made was worth dying for. And the cross alone shows how much people matter to God. That God was willing to give up His only Son to die a horrific death on the cross that He didn't deserve. He did that because people matter to Him. Jesus died for everyone. And so we're called at the very least to respect their humanity. Even people who reject Jesus, people who go against His guidelines, for maybe they're living a very offensive lifestyle. God still loves that person, and He sent Jesus to die for that person, and Jesus did indeed give His life for that person. He may not like what that person is doing, but He loves the person. So we respect others because Jesus died for everyone. And a third reason. We should respect others because it shows that we know God. It shows our lives have been touched and transformed and changed because we know God. John wrote this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. If a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, because God is love. If you're not loving and kind toward others, if you're not respectful toward others, the very people that God created, the very ones for whom Jesus died, then we're not doing what God wants us to do. Even the people who were against Jesus, Jesus still treated them with respect. The very ones, the religious people of the day, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who were constantly attacking Jesus, and the ones of the Romans who were in cohorts with them to take literally, eventually take Jesus to trial and to kill him on the cross. When Jesus died, he still died for those people. And I'll bet you in a heartbeat, sometime when Jesus was on the cross, at some point, those people's faces and their names were flashing through his mind, and he was realizing, I'm even dying for them. Now, let's be careful. We need to get off our little smug high horse right now, because I've been using a lot of them and they, and it's we. It's us. It's you. Right? They reluctantly say yes. That's right. Because we are them. I'm pretty sure, let me look around here. Yeah, I'm pretty sure no one here is perfect. Pretty sure that some of you have even sinned this morning. I just got a feeling. We'll take testimonies if we need to. I can testify about Libby if I need to. She was perfect this morning. Folks, a great test of our faith are our relationships. What you believe is tested in your life as you relate to others, as you talk to others, as you interact with others, how you treat others. That's where your faith becomes real. That's where your faith is actually tested. And regardless of what gets under your skin, you still need to treat people with respect, because it shows that you know God, who has treated you with respect. If you want to be treated with respect and value and dignity, then treat others with value and dignity and respect. You want people to smile at you, smile at them. Great people know how to make other people feel great. The most respected people are the most respectful people. Those are why we should treat people with respect. Now, let's move on to the action part of the message. How do we do that? I have a good base of why we should do it. How do we do it? Let me give you some ways that we can actually show respect to others. Some practical guidelines. Four ways that you can show respect to others. Number one, when you speak, be tactful, not just truthful. Be tactful, not just truthful. Why? Because the primary way we can show respect is through our words. As a matter of fact, look what the writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs 15:4. He said, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. What Solomon is talking about here is tactfulness. Now, we don't hear too much about being tactful today, because we live in a time where everybody thinks that because they have freedom of speech, they can say whatever they want, whenever they feel like saying it, however they want it to come out of their mouth, regardless of how it impacts others. You ever heard people like that talking? Someone defined tactful as the ability to make your guests feel at home when you wish they really were. Can I get an amen? When I've been to Kenya several times in Africa, a friend of mine, Lee Jawanji, I was in seminary with, and we did some mission trips over there with him, and I forget where it is in Kenya. Kenya's still a tribal nation. I mean, the old, like, we have tribes. Yeah, they have tribes, and their tribes still war against each other. And he said one of the customs in one of the tribes, I don't know which one it is, if they have company come over, doesn't matter what time of the day, if they have company come over and they're talking, even if it's family members and things, and the man of the head of the house, the man, decides he's tired. He just turns to them. You know what we do in America is we try and find a polite way to let them know that it's time. They just turn to them and say, I'm tired of you. Go home. Can I get an amen? Come on to me and Libby's house. You'll know when to leave. Be tactful. Not just truthful, but be tactful. You know, you can say the same thing, folks, in different ways. Depending upon how you say it may determine whether it is accepted or rejected. For instance, there was a high school in Virginia, and they offered a course called Home Economics for Boys. No one signed up. Not one boy of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of boys in that school signed up. No one. So the next year, they renamed it Bachelor Living. 120 kids signed up for the class. Nothing changed. It had the same curriculum, the same explanation. 120 boys signed up just because they told it in a different way. Being tactful is a key to maintaining healthy relationships. Being tactfully truthful is the ability to tell the truth in the best possible light. Proverbs 15:23 says this, "What a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion." Right? Doesn't that? How good is that? What a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion. An old Scottish guide was a devoutly religious Christian man, and he was a lover of good hunting. And on one occasion, he returned from a shooting trip where he took the new pastor out hunting, and he came home and he just sat wearily in his chair. And his wife asked the new minister if the pastor was a good shot. Now, the guide reflected on this for a minute. It was strictly against his principles to speak a disparaging word about a man in the cloth. And he said to his wife, Aye, dear, a fine shot he is. But 'tis marvelous how the Lord protects the birds when he's shooting. When you speak, be tactful, not just truthful. Secondly, another way we can show respect to people. When you are served, be understanding, not demanding. A great test of your character is how you treat people when they serve you. Whether it's your secretaries, you have a waiter or waitress taking care of you, the folks who clean up your car, whether it's your husband, wife, children, parents, people doing something for you, you're to be understanding, not demanding. Jesus put it this way, Luke chapter 6, verse 31, do to others as you would have them do to you. The secret of great service is to treat people with respect the way you want to be treated. Be considerate of their feelings. Be sympathetic to their stresses. If you don't want people looking down at you, then don't look down to them. It's easy to be kind and respectful to others when they're doing that for you. But the true test of character is to be kind and loving and gracious to others when they are mistreating you. So be understanding, not demanding. Maybe the person is under a lot of stress that you know nothing about. So be understanding of them, even if you don't know what's going on. Be understanding, not demanding. This should be practiced also, obviously, within the family, within family relationships. Too many times we give too many digs to each other. We say things to family members in ways we would never say to a stranger. God says, be understanding, not demanding. A third way you show respect to others, number three, when you disagree, be gentle, not judgmental. Now, folks, we understand as believers, as Christians, we think definitely, and rightfully so, there are some things in society that are right and some things that are wrong. Most of us would agree on probably a lot of those things. But how we react to the people who live next to us, who work with us, maybe they're a relative, maybe someone who is a relative, the mom or dad of the boy or the girl on the baseball team with your child, how do you respond to them when they are involved in something that is wrong? Well, this is really interesting part of the message here. Look what Paul said in Romans 14. He said, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on each other. Now, well, there's too many things to underline in that verse, so underline the whole thing. But I like the last few words right before the end of the verse where Paul says, stop passing judgment. First of all, he says, we need to remember that everyone is going to give an account of himself or herself to God. You are not going to give an account to God for me. No matter how much you may want to, especially if you see me on a bad day when I'm not acting much like a Christian, to say anything about a pastor, and you see that and you think you're going to bring that to, no, you're not going to give an account for me. No matter how bad you might want to get an audience with God about me, it ain't going to happen. Now, take a little comfort in that. I'm not going to be the one who judges you. And I know what some of you've done. You tell me. Listen, I have never said one thing to anybody about what you share with me confidentially. I don't do that. I am going to write a book right before I die. But now you're safe. Don't pass judgment on each other. Oh my gosh, how many of us are guilty of that? How many of us look at somebody, look at a situation, and we think we got it all figured out, and we don't have a clue what is going on with them, and we pass judgment? Shame on us. We aren't God. You know, have any of you ever seen the movie Rudy? About a young man who wanted to go to Notre Dame and play football. There we go, yeah. I love the movie. I've only seen it like 255 times. Love the movie. There's one scene in there where Rudy is still really confused, trying to get into to Notre Dame, trying to play football. He can't get in, and he finds a priest at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a Catholic university, so they have priests there. Rudy's Catholic. He finds a priest. And he's talking to the priest about how he's going to get in and where can he get this and how can he do that. And the priest who was talking to Rudy said, Rudy, There are two incontrovertible facts of which I am sure. There is a God, and I'm not Him. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, there is a God, and we are not Him. So people aren't accountable to us. It's not our job to be behavioral policemen and policewomen running around trying to make everybody who's not a believer behave like they are believers. How silly is that? I know believers who don't even behave like believers. How do we expect non-believers to behave like believers? Remember, folks, telling the truth doesn't mean you're being judgmental. Be careful about that, too. You can tell somebody that if they drink strychnine, they're going to die. That's not being judgmental. That's telling the truth. You can tell a woman that if she snorts cocaine, she's going to possibly harm or even kill the preborn child. That's not judgmental. That's the truth. And truth isn't relative. There are universal truths. If you tell people that if they disobey God's guidelines and His moral laws, it's going to project into all kinds of negative consequences into their lives, that's not being judgmental. It's telling the truth. The key to all of those situations and many more isn't that you don't tell the truth. It's how you tell it. It's how you tell it. Speak the truth kindly, with respect. What's judgmental about when you take the truth and you begin to beat people over the head with it and you enjoy it, and then you act like you've never done anything wrong because you haven't done that thing, that sin? That's disrespectful. We're to tell people the truth to help them, not to harm them, to help point them to God, not turn them off from God. So when you shoot the arrow of truth at someone, you need to make sure you dip it in some honey first. They may still reject it. Their life may never be changed. But we tell them with respect. Can you imagine being down on Marion Square, one of the times of year when they're just doing something celebratory and they have lots of food, they have things to drink, they have some music going on, and you're just down on Marion Square. And all of a sudden, somebody brings a female out. She's scantily dressed. And they just throw her down in front of you and your family and the little crowd right there and said, "Hey, we just caught her in a bar right across the street. And she was doing some terrible things. And it bothered us. And we thought we'd just bring her out here and just, what do you think?" What would you do? Would you turn your head? Walk away, think in your mind she deserves what she's getting? Well, that thing happened to Jesus when they found the woman caught in the midst of adultery right in the very act, and they grabbed the woman, scantily clothed, if anything, and they threw her in front of Jesus and the crowd. And by the way, where was the guy? And what did Jesus do? He didn't condemn her. He didn't publicly humiliate her. He took care of those guys first. All right, anybody here who's never committed a sin? Go on. Now, they already had, the Bible says they had rocks. They were going to stone her because that was the punishment for what that was, adultery. And they could have stoned her right on, they could have killed her right on the spot. And Jesus said, "Hey, no problem. You committed no sin? Bring it." The Bible says they dropped their rocks and split. And Jesus protected her. And He showed love to her. He forgave her of her sin. And He still spoke truth to her, but He did it very kindly. He said, "Now, you don't need to be living this way anymore. So I want you to go, but don't practice this sin any longer." Jesus was gentle, not judgmental. I hope we're like that here at Calvary and at Crossroads. I really do. Because none of us are perfect. And I want people to feel safe when they come in here to know we're sinners just like they are and that they are welcome here. And they don't have their life together, neither do we, but we can give them some loving truth of a person who can change their life. Remember, folks, the church was never meant to be a hotel for saints, but a hospital for sinners. So be gentle, not judgmental. And number four, when you share your faith, respect people. Don't reject people. 1 Peter 3:15, if anybody asks why you believe as you do, be ready to tell him. And do it, look, in a gentle and respectful way. Folks, you don't argue people into heaven. You don't verbally condemn people into heaven. You don't speak people into heaven with a demeaning speech. God wants you to shine your light, not be a blowtorch. And many times we get all bent out of shape when people don't believe what we believe the way we believe it. I love you, but get over it. I'm sure among all of us here today that we can find lots of ways we believe God and the truth of God and Jesus. We believe all that, but we would also have ways that we differ in our beliefs and practices. And it doesn't mean mine's right and yours wrong or yours is right and mine's wrong. We're just different. Share your faith with respect. Don't reject others. Many of you know I'm a chaplain at a hospital. I work at Mount Pleasant Hospital over in North Mount Pleasant. And I did 2 years of work and education in CPE, clinical pastoral education, before that. And I also worked at hospitals downtown Roper and St. Francis. And I was the chaplain. I was one of the chaplains. And it was my job, when it was my turn to bat on the weekends, to go visit people who are sick. That's what chaplains do in hospitals. And find all kinds of interesting people in hospital rooms. Oh my gosh, if you only knew. Well, I went downtown Roper one day to visit a lady and read her chart, found out that she was at the end of life stage. She had cancer all over her body. She was actively dying. She is not going to live unless God does some kind of miracle. She's dying. And it was my job to go up there and talk with her and bring some comfort and meet whatever needs she may have at this part of her life. She's not going to be here much longer. So I went in the room, and as I was going in, a nurse was coming out. Now, I love nurses. Nurses are the best thing that hospitals have ever seen. They're great. They're wonderful. And the nurse was coming out, and she said, good luck. So I know what that meant. This is going to be a trying visit. I said, okay. So I walked into the room, and for some reason it was a big room. It was one of those oddly built rooms. And I started walking over to the lady. She said, what do you want? And under other times, I would have just said nothing and just walked away. I said, well, I'm the chaplain. Well, I have no need for you. I just kicked the nurse out. I don't need her. I don't need the doctors. And I don't need you. I'm not religious. You can just leave. Now, I probably could have said okay and just left and charted it in an honest way and be done with it. But something told me, she's angry for a reason. Something's going on with her. So I said, well, if you really want me to, I'll leave. And as I was doing that, I was just taking like half steps closer to her bed and resting. And she's got a book up here, notebook with a pen, thick notebook. And she's writing in it. And I said, what are you doing here? Are you journaling? She said, no, I'm making notes about how incompetent everybody is in this hospital. What's your name? I'm not making this up. So I had my badge on and I said, well, I'm Kevin. And again, I'm the chaplain. She wrote my name down. I was going, oh, God. So I just stood by her bed and began just to listen to her. And she was taking pot shots left and right, left and right, left and right. So what I found out is she is trying to get rid of me because she's hurting spiritually, physically, emotionally. She doesn't know what to do with that stuff. She's trying to get rid of me. But I said, no, not this time. So I stood by her bed, and I didn't say anything. And she would just look up to me every once in a while, not say a word. She closed her book, put it on her lap. Her name was Ann. That wasn't her real name. I said, Ann, what's going on? Nothing. And I stood there. I stood there probably about 10 or 15 minutes. Stupid room didn't have a chair in it, so I had to stand. Who made this room? About 10 or 15 minutes went by with nothing said. I said, well, I know you're dying, and it's not going to be long. How do you feel about that? At some point, I don't remember how or when or why, she started to talk. And I heard the story of a lady who her whole life had been shut down and disrespected in every way. She grew up in a home where the father abused her, tried to find some help and hope through the church, and one of the ministers attacked her, got an education, thought that would help. She was very smart, so smart, worked hard, never really was able to climb the ladder, traveled a little bit over to Europe. She was a historian, unbelievable how much knowledge she had in her mind. And I listened to all of her stories. And after I listened to them, she said, why are you still here? Well, I said, I care. Just want to know if there's anything I can do. I didn't usually make visits that went as long as this one. I make short visits. I'll stay if they need me, but I'm in and out, you know. I was in her room for almost an hour and a half. When it was said and done, and she shared all of these heartbreaking stories with me, it was her time of confession. Not just of what she had done wrong, but what other people had done wrong to her. And so she said, because of all of that, I don't want anything to do with God. Now, all the time she's talking to me, she's using foul language. She's talking poorly about people that I didn't know, even about the staff. And I didn't like it, but I respected her as a person whom God made and for whom Jesus died. And I listened. near the end of the hour and a half, she said, "Thank you. I haven't heard anybody listen to me for a long time." I was like, that's because you throw things at them when they come in the room. She had been dismissive of every person in her life for over 25 years. And I said, "What else can I do for you?" She said, "I want to make peace with God." I said, "Okay, we can do that." She said, "I'm Catholic." "We can still help you." If there are any Catholics here, I'm just kidding. I said, "Well, I'm not, so I can't absolve you of anything. I can't give you last rites, but I can pray with you." She said, "That's good enough." She held her hand up. I wasn't going to get her hand, but she held it up, and I held her hand, and we prayed. Good long prayer. I mean, not like 20 minutes prayer, but I wanted to cover everything. And we got done. And as I always say, I said, "Amen and amen." And I started to let go, and she wouldn't let me. And simply because I was willing to show respect to her, even when she was being mean, she came to a point where she told me she had a sense of peace now about her dying. And I was glad about that, because she was going to die. So we prayed a prayer again, and it was time for me to go. And she, walking out toward the door, she said, "Hey, Kevin." I said, "What?" She said, "I still have your name here. You better be good." That was important for her. That was important for me. I went back the next day because I told her I'd be back, and she had died in the night. Now, that's a sad story for me, but it's a good story. It's good to tell the victories you have when you relate to people in a respectful way, doesn't it? Good to hear it, good to experience it. So, folks, if you want to strengthen your relationships, give people respect. Don't be rude. Love them with the love of God that you have in your life. Be forgiving, don't be demanding. And watch God bless you. And bless your relationships, okay? Good enough? Let's pray. God, I want to thank you that you have taught us and reminded us again about your goodness and your grace and your mercy, your forgiveness. And you've reminded us that we are called to be people who show respect to others, to not be rude, but gracious and loving and forgiving, just like you are to us. In the way we talk, with the mannerisms that we use, with the tone of our voice, being gracious and forgiving to others, whether we get it from them or not. That's what you've called us to do. That's what you've called us to be. Now, I pray, Lord, you'll bless us. A lot of people here today, God, and I don't know all the ways that you've spoken to us this morning, but in some way you did. And if that means we need to act and change our behavior, then help us to do that very specifically. If it means we need to change our attitude, then help us to do that. If it means we just need to sit back and allow you to minister to us, to speak to us, to heal us, then let us do that. During this time of invitation, Father, I pray that you have your will and your way done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hey, I hope God has spoken to you like he has spoken to me today. This is just showing respect and love. It's just part of who we are as Christians. And thank you, Kevin, for that message. Let's join in prayer together and hope you have a wonderful week. Lord, this is just a challenge for all of us to show love. No matter how the response may be coarse, it may be tough. It is harsh out in the world many times. But help us to be your representatives of love and respect. And love is patient and kind. Help us to remember and to be your hands and your feet and your voice wherever we are. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all his people said, amen. Amen.